If you meet the Buddha on the road, kill him. So said 9th-century Buddhist sage Lin Chi. He spoke the words to a monk who thought he'd found the answer. Lin Chi knew that if you think you've met the Buddha, you haven't. The new book, Killing the Buddha, A Heretic's Bible, takes the sage's advice to heart and says if you think you've found all the answers in any religion, it's time to start questioning. Chicago Public Radio's Jason DeRose reports the book examines some American roadside distractions on the path to enlightenment.
We'd like to start the evening with a prayer of sorts. This is from A Heretic's Bible, Book of Ezekiel. There is no God, and the Jews are his chosen people. What a great word that is, chosen.
Most book tours don't open with an invocation, and most aren't held at venues better known for hosting garage bands. But co-author Jeff Charlotte is performing at Chicago's Beat Kitchen as part of the Killing the Buddha Tent Revival, a sort of worship service in praise of writing.
At the best of these events, we get the audience involved, and the whole thing sort of reaches a sort of critical mass where it turns, where there's this feeling in the room where everyone is saying, okay, we're being a part of the religion of books, of literature.
The first incarnation of Killing the Buddha came online in 2001 as the literary magazine KillingTheBuddha.com. The site's manifesto said it was for people made anxious by religion, but still fascinated by it. That fall, Charlotte and co-author Peter Manceau set out on a road trip.
We traveled for a year, gathering stories of the different ways people believe or don't believe, the way they found God or given up on God. This book really grew out of frustration with the way religion is written about. On the one hand, it is this pious, holy thing. On the other hand, it's this fanaticism, and never really approaching it on its own terms.
Manceau and Charlotte write about communing with cowboy Christians in Texas and dancing with military pagans in Kansas. The word became flesh at Club Exotica near Geneva, Illinois.
She called herself Dina, but that was not her real name. She was a stripper, but there was only so much she could reveal. She would have liked to have shown us more, but she was not allowed. There are rules about revelation in a bikini bar. Thou shalt not show more than 6/10 of thy breast, that portion which is revealed to exclude thy nipple. Thou shalt not show more than 4/10 of thy ass. Thy legs must be hidden, but thou mayest use sheer nylons that giveth the appearance of flesh. This deception shall pass, saith the Lord and the state of Illinois.
Readers encounter this Calvinist stripper in the book's homage to Psalm 29. Killing the Buddha is a collection of hymn and history, poem and prophecy, story and sermon. Well-known authors give selected scripture more contemporary incarnations. Haven Kimmel rethinks Revelation. Francine Prose remembers her own exodus. And Peter Trachtenberg, who's touring with the Tent Revival, meditates on the book of Job.
There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now note that word, fear. This is a story from the time before human beings learned to love God.
Trachtenberg says he wanted to use the story of Job and the conceit of a stand-up comedy routine coupled with a sermon to contemplate the nature of God and the problem of suffering.
What it addresses or attacks is the notion that God is moral or conforms to our human standards of what morality is. Obviously, he doesn't. God contains both a moral element and an element of power. And human beings are powerless. Perhaps our function is to be God's conscience, outsourced. We're his outsourced conscience.
This blending of tragedy and comedy reflects Killing the Buddha's overall middle way, sometimes funny, at other times devastating. But a tone that complex can be hard to pull off.
There was a point in the presentation on Job where Peter Trachtenberg started out as if he were telling a joke.
Simona Fuma attended the Chicago revival.
He said, well, let's take a Jew, a Tutsi, and a person from Sierra Leone. And then he basically told about each person's suffering. And I think what he was trying to do is show that the suffering of the Holocaust was comparable to other people's suffering. Even if you were to make that point, you could make it in a better way than to do so glibly and as if it were a joke.
Co-authors Jeff Charlotte and Peter Manceau are used to complaints about the book's tone. Enlightenment can be painful. After all, says Manceau, this is a heretic's Bible.
America is a nation of heretics, in the sense mainly that heresy, this word that means awful things to many Orthodox believers, really what it means is choice. It actually comes from a Greek word, which means simply to choose. And so believers and unbelievers of all stripes in America today are choosing the ways in which they believe.
Manceau and Charlotte are continuing their missionary, literary tent revivals across the U.S. into April. Along the way, they're collecting more stories of belief and disbelief from Brahmins and ascetics alike for the next incarnation of Killing the Buddha, a radio show. And then, says Charlotte,
it's going to be a holy rolling religious movement that's going to gather steam until it becomes a minor sect in American life, becomes calcified and boring, and someone has to come along and kill its Buddha and come up with something much better.
At least he's reconciled to the impermanence of it all. For NPR News, I'm Jason DeRose in Chicago.